This is Barbara Glickstein with HealthCetera. Every parent looks forward to the day their baby will be discharged from the hospital, especially if it's from the neonatal intensive care unit. But having the baby home is going to present a new set of challenges and can be stressful for the parents. Dr. Daniel Sarek is the director of nursing research at Niklaus Children's Hospital in South Florida. She's the co-principal investigator of Baby Steps. What a great name. It's a nurse-led telehealth support model that supports equitable access to transition of care services for neonatal intensive care patients and their caregivers, whether it's the birthing parent, the grandparents, the people who surround you with love and support when you bring that baby home. Welcome to HealthCetera, Dr. Sarek.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what are the key issues that are addressed with Baby Steps? But actually, let's start with, why did you start this program and give us a sense of how it works?
Sure. I am by training, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner, and most of my clinical life has been spent in the primary care setting. So I had the privilege of taking care of these babies and, you know, by extension, working with their caregivers and their parents when they came home from the hospital. And those are actually some of my favorite visits. So they generally go to the pediatrician or the nurse practitioner in primary care, usually within a day or two after going home. And so from my time working with those families, what I found is that there were a lot of questions. There's a lot of uncertainty in that time period. And most of these babies are, you know, the ones who are discharged after a pretty uneventful delivery. But in the United States, we know that about one out of every 10 babies actually goes to the NICU after they're born. So what we see is that when babies are in the NICU, especially when they have to be there for a long period of time, and they go home, there might be other challenges that they're facing. When we, my colleague and I, Dr. Yui Matsuda, first started to think about this idea and develop this plan in this project, she had actually just had her own baby, and she did have to go to the NICU with him. And luckily he wasn't there for a very long period, but during that time, she did call me and she had questions. And when she went home, she had questions. And at one point she said, you know, I just wish that there was someone like you for all new parents to be able to talk to. And that was kind of the genesis of the program.
And what are some of the ways, how does it work? And I know that there are other models across the country that some have been working, some have been improving, but how does Baby Steps work? What makes it unique?
I think that with Baby Steps, the thing that sets this model apart from a lot of others is that it is a nurse-led transition of care model. So we work with our families and our caregivers in the NICU to talk to them about the program, to enroll them in the program. And then when they go home, we actually follow up with them by telehealth. We have a NICU nurse who follows up with them within 48 to 72 hours to see if they're having any challenges with that transition. Are they having difficulty getting their medications? Are they having challenges maybe with having adequate access to food, or are they having challenges with having adequate access to technology support? We provide this holistic care for the caregiver and the infant. And we also provide nursing care during that time. We can look at a G-tube, which is, you know, a type of feeding tube. If the baby has oxygen, we can help with that. So anything with a nursing scope, we can help provide that support. That's really what makes it different. One, that it's in that acute transition period. Two, that it's nurse-led, and then that we provide holistic care. It's not just focused on, you know, like this is a NICU follow-up clinic or this is a medical appointment. It's really to provide that holistic support to our families that we know that they need.
And would it necessarily be the same nurse that cared for their child in the nursery? Are they familiar with these nurses? Is there a bond of some relationship building that has happened? What could possibly be better if that's what happens?
So what we heard from our families, actually, it's interesting that you bring up that point, is that when they went home from the hospital, they had developed such strong bonds with their NICU nurses and providers that they almost didn't feel that they had that same level of trust with, you know, their providers in the community, which is completely understandable. So we tried to build on that for the model. We do work to have the NICU nurses themselves, those nurses who are embedded in the NICU, be the ones who are providing this telehealth support. So, you know, in some cases, they may be the nurse that cared for the baby, but in all cases, they're nurses that are in that NICU. They understand kind of the course of care that the baby had. They round with the team, so they have a really good sense of what the challenges are that that baby and that family faced even prior to discharge. And they bring that expertise and that awareness to that follow-up encounter.
What are some of the things that parents have expressed concerns to you and your team, even prior to going home, about the going home? I was already a nurse when I had my first child, and I particularly felt like I wanted to be spoken to as a new parent and not as a nurse with background. I had my clinical training, but I wasn't ever a parent. So what are the kinds of things might our listeners be thinking, wow, what do new parents think about who are leaving from with their child who may, because of an early birth or some health issue, what are their concerns?
I think you've hit the nail on the head with, you know, when you have your own child or a child that is receiving medical care, often it doesn't matter what your background is. This is new territory for you. And this is something that your training doesn't necessarily prepare you for. I felt the same way going home with my daughter, who had an uneventful delivery and, you know, luckily was very healthy. You kind of are in a different mindset at that point. So we know that our NICU parents and caregivers, they have a lot of education and training while their infant is still in the hospital. We even, at my institution, we make sure that they room in before they go home. We make sure.
What does that mean, Dr. Sarah, for those who wouldn't know?
So that means that prior to the infant being discharged from the hospital and going home, we make sure that the parent comes to the hospital and spends that time on site. So usually at least 24 hours providing all of the what we think would be necessary care to make sure they're able to do that once they go home.
Sure, that's helpful. I'm sure that's very helpful.
Yes. But, you know, so there's a lot coming at these parents, though. You know, they're learning about maybe the medications they have to administer. They might have to mix formulas that have extra nutrition in it for, you know, these very small infants. And sometimes I think we forget that they still have to deal with all of those other normal infant things once they go home. So what we hear from our families during these calls, we have a lot of questions about safe sleep, which obviously having a baby in a safe sleep environment, knowing how to position them, what not to have in their crib, those things are very important. We have a lot of questions about feeding, how much to feed, when to feed, how do you know if your baby's full and satiated? And then we have a lot of just anticipatory guidance. So if the baby does this, how should I respond? How do I read my baby's cues? So that's kind of that, you know, that nursing approach that these things aren't strictly medical or, you know, clinical, but they are really important to take care of the baby. We also have questions, a lot of questions actually about mental health concerns. And this is something prior to the program we didn't even think about as much, which in hindsight is kind of silly, but we were really focused on that infant. And what we've heard from our caregivers and families after they transition home is that there is a lot of anxiety that they have to address. In many cases, there is depression. We know that our families who have an infant in the NICU, they tend to have higher rates of depression and anxiety at baseline. And so then that acute transition, I think, brings those things to the forefront. And so that's something that we've kind of adapted the program so that we can address those and support the families better.
And what do you do in those instances? Sometimes it's, we know clinically with postpartum mood disorders that the person experiencing it, especially if it's a new first birth or even a second or third child, they're not aware that some of the things that they're feeling are necessarily something to be alert to alert a healthcare provider about. And there's all levels of that. So clearly, sometimes feeling kind of blue and changes of hormones that are happening also in that period of time. But how does the nurse assess that, Dr. Sarek, and what do they recommend?
We, as a program, we make sure that we are asking those questions. And that's the first step, is just, you know, how are you feeling? How do you feel you're coping? Are there any challenges that you're facing? Because if we don't ask the question, then we can't expect that the parent is necessarily going to volunteer. And what we find, again, is that generally when babies are discharged from the hospital, you know, like an uneventful delivery, they go to their pediatrician's appointment a few days after birth. And then they usually might go again, you know, a few weeks for a weight check, usually at 1 month, usually at 2 months. And best practice is that in the primary care setting, they're being assessed for postpartum depression and anxiety. We know that doesn't always happen. And then when we look at our NICU parents, they may already be out of that range when they're going to the pediatrician at those intervals. So some of our babies aren't discharged until 6 or 9 months. And so they may not even have that support system. So what we make sure we're doing is that we're asking, really kind of assessing what the situation is and connecting that parent with community resources if they need them. We also have a plan in place that if there were a crisis situation, we have, you know, the ability to have crisis support as well. But, you know, that's unfortunately at this point, that's kind of as far as we can go because we are removed. But we recognize this is an area that we need to pay a lot more attention, and we need some resources to address this.
So you have been doing this project for how long now, and where are you in next steps? Baby steps.
Baby Steps was launched in April of 2020. So we are a project that came right at the start of the pandemic. It was actually, you know, we had planned for it. We applied for a grant, which we received from Florida Blue Foundation to support this work before the pandemic was a thing. We had always planned to use telehealth to deliver the intervention. So in that way, actually, I think with the pandemic, it kind of dovetailed nicely with the start of our program. So we've been delivering these services and using this model for 3 years. We've provided care and enrolled over 600 patients and families in the state of Florida, because our patients go home to, you know, community settings all across the state of Florida. Next steps for this program, I really think that there's a huge need for this sort of, you know, health equity focused work and this nurse driven work in NICUs across the country. And I say NICUs because that's where the program has started, but you know, from my clinical background, I think that all sorts of patients could benefit from a model of care, transition care, that provides that extra layer of support and just that acute period when you go home. And if you're a parent or if you've cared for a loved one who's been hospitalized, I think this rings true for a lot of us. You're in such a stressful state at that during that admission and after you go home that your brain doesn't even necessarily have, you know, it's hard for your brain to hold on to everything you've been told. And so I think that just human nature, we go home and then we kind of think, oh, wait, what was I supposed to do? When do I give this medication? So I think for those of us who have the ability to follow up with a primary care provider or something like that, that's great. But we know that not everyone has the same access to healthcare. And so this is could really be a way that we could improve that and make sure that we're providing that access for those who might not otherwise have it.
It's interesting. And as you said, not planned, that the launch was the same time that we entered into this global pandemic. And so issues of transportation, taking a baby and or adult going into healthcare facilities was an increase of risk. In addition, we know that you mentioned health equity, that in low resource communities where access to transportation can be an issue, childcare is an issue, getting off from work. You said sometimes these babies are in the NICU for 6 to 9 months. Many, because of our poor parental leave policies in this country, many people have already returned to work. So even being able to have the ability to be in touch with a nurse from where your care of your child was is a pretty important thing. And I'm sure that you've gotten some feedback about that. I'm wondering if you can share, clearly not with identifying a family, sort of a story that always comes to mind when you talk about baby steps and what it's meant to a family that received this care.
I would be happy to. And we actually, we've had the opportunity to share this work in a couple of national forums. And so we have received approval from one of our families to share their story without identifiers. But we had a patient cared for in the NICU who was with us for a very long time, almost close to a year. So as you can imagine, some, you know, really critical health concerns that they needed to address both before they went home and even after they went home. And because it was in the middle of the pandemic, what they found is that although they were supposed to be receiving really almost 24 hours a day nursing care, there was no nursing care available in the community. But they really wanted to go home. They wanted to take their baby home and understandably kind of get their life started in their home community. And so our nurses through the Baby Steps program were able to provide some of that support for the original transition. They were able to help that parent to troubleshoot some equipment issues, connect them with community resources, and make sure that transition home was a successful one. Even though it wasn't, you know, didn't go exactly as planned, they had that nurse there and they had the Baby Steps program as a resource. And so, you know, now this family has shared multiple pictures with us and, you know, continues to update us on the growth and really the amazing kind of trajectory of the baby after they left us. And so we have been able to kind of share in that joy with them and also share their story, like I said, nationally, and be able to share kind of the pictures of where they were when they were born and then kind of where they are now as this really adorable little toddler. So, you know, that kind of speaks to the importance of this sort of work and also the really kind of wonderful work that nurses can do in this space.
I'm particularly moved by this being nurse-led, nurse-designed, and nurse-followed for outcomes. And I know that you are reporting back on those outcomes in both as a nurse researcher, as well as with the hopes of expanding this project. What are some of the outcomes for the institutions that the institution that you work with? Has it saved money? Has it improved health outcomes of for the families, for the babies?
All of the above, I would say. We've been able to look back over the 3 years and we've saved an estimated over $1 million. So between the averted costs for our patients and families, between, you know, having to take time off from work, travel, if any of you listening have ever been in Miami, you know it is not an easy place to navigate. And so even driving 6 miles could take you an hour. And so, you know, you think about doing that with a baby, a fragile infant. As you said, maybe if you're someone who doesn't have easy access to transportation, we've seen huge positive impacts there. We've also seen clinically really important outcomes with our infants with their 30-day readmissions. So we have about a 50% reduction in 30-day unplanned readmissions to the hospital, similar rates of reduction in 30-day unplanned emergency room use or urgent care use. And so I think those things they're so important. One, we don't want these babies to have to come back to the hospital, but two, when you think about the cost savings associated with that and the burden on the families and the patients that we've been able to remove by them not coming back, you know, I think that kind of tells the success story of this program. We are tracking other things such as parenting self-efficacy. So if a parent, after they have these telehealth encounters within the first 2 weeks after discharge, do they feel more capable? Do they feel more able to provide care to their babies? And what we're seeing is that we have very positive results there as well.
Dr. Danielle Sarek is the Director of Nursing Research at Nicklaus Children's Hospital in South Florida and the co-principal investigator of Baby Steps. Thank you for joining us on HealthCetera and hearing about a really positive nurse-led program that's supporting these babies, supporting their families, supporting the community, and also showing incredible outcomes and important cost savings, as well as parents feeling better about the work that they're doing to do everything they can to care for their child. Thank you, Dr. Sarek.
Thank you so much.